I got sent this by at least five people. And I'm not that familiar with their work. I'm not going to lie to you on this, so I had to do some digging into it. But the Ville Family Service Center does do some good work, you know. But there was a letter in their newsletter that was written by their manager, Gary Wileski. And Gary talks about, at length here, his philosophy, which any manager can. It's his newsletter. They get a chance to do that. And he can express his views in his newsletter. And obviously, he's got the type of board that agrees with his philosophy. I saw Ross Nelson, you know, who worked with Rick Berg, recently joined his board after landing at Border States, where Tammy Miller manages. Remember that name from the campaign? But he talks about in his newsletter, he says, first, let me confess my bias. Since Obamacare was passed in March of 2010, I've considered it an unmitigated disaster. I even emailed our three children and apologized for what my generation is about to do to them. Then he goes on to say, I believe that freedom and large government cannot occupy the same space. There's other things in here that got my attention. In real terms, think of 100 kids per year who don't get matched in our Big Brothers Big Sisters program due to ever encroaching government requirements. So obviously the approach at the Village Family Service Center is that government is not good. Big government, central government is not good, and that it doesn't do well by the Village Family Service Center, which, you know, struck me and the people that contacted me as a contradiction from what they do and how they're funded. And I thought, I'll get Gary Wileski on to speak to this. Gary, you're on News and Views. Good to have you on. Thanks for accepting our invitation.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Gary, very, very strong editorial you wrote. Tell us why.
Well, a couple of things. First, I mean, it is an editorial, so I think it's important for your listeners to keep in mind that those are my opinions, and you just mentioned that, somebody mentioned, the comment was that obviously I had a board that agreed with that. I don't think that's true. I mean, I think our board of directors, as is our staff, is very diverse in their worldview and all kinds of, you know, snapshots that you might take of them. But just to sort of clarify and be real strong with the point that I'm speaking for myself here with this, okay? So, and my biases, as I say, are stated pretty clearly in the article. I have watched now for 40 some years as a professional and a citizen, as I say, the encroachment of regulations and so forth. I just don't know that it's good for us. And with respect specifically to Obamacare, I just see a train wreck coming, and people have called it that. I'm trying, and my staff over here is trying to feverishly to figure out how this can be sort of translated into good policy here for our wonderful staff, and it's very hard to do. A couple things we figured out already, and it's going to cost more. I think we know that, and that cost has to be borne somewhat. So that ends up being shouldered by the community. Ends up being shouldered by our wonderful donors, ends up being shouldered in some respects by our staff. So I don't see much positive about that. We don't know yet the ultimate impact with respect to health care that central planning is doing for us. But as I say in the editorial, there's a lot of evidence, I think, from a lot of history that central planning is problematic. I would be the first to say that we have and have had a very some serious problems with our health care delivery system. We have a wonderful health care system in the country, but we have inequities in it, and I think that's a serious problem, and I think it ought to be addressed. I just don't think that central planning is the best way to approach these sorts of things, and so I think we could have addressed it in different ways. I think the outcomes perhaps would have been better if we addressed it more on a state by state free enterprise sort of.
But that wasn't happening. Can we acknowledge that, Gary?
Pardon me?
That wasn't happening, right? The state by state approach to health care wasn't happening. Can we acknowledge that?
It happened in Massachusetts, And I think
and Mitt Romney ran away from that in Massachusetts, right?
No, as a matter of fact, I think he did quite the opposite. I mean, I think
no. He embraced it. He embraced it, and then when it came to his presidential race, he ran away from it.
Well, my point is, I think it would have happened on the private sector had there been some additional time that elapsed and those things that need to be triggered to make that happen.
Gary, I wasn't going to hold my breath for that. So the people that didn't have insurance that now can have access to insurance, I guess I'm okay with if I'm donated to the village. But you put something in here that really got my attention. You said freedom and large government cannot occupy the same space, meaning that you don't believe in, and you also talk about a larger central government is ineffective. I pulled up your expenditures or your awards. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, direct award, $460,000. The Minnesota Department of Human Services, Child's Mental Health Division, $103,000. The U.S. Department of Justice, direct award. Strategic Enhancement to Monitoring Program, $88,000. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. All totaled, you have a total federal awards here. Total federal award, which I could easily make the argument, Gary. This is central government. This is people like me paying into the government as a taxpayer, and you've gotten back through the Village Family Service Center $827,132. Doesn't that mean that you, who applied for, received these grants as the village, are trying to have your cake and eat it too when you say you don't believe in a central government?
Well, we want to be careful about misstating what I'm saying here, because 28% of our budget here, and we're very proud to partner with the state of North Dakota in some of the finest work that we do on behalf of kids who have serious problems. And on the Minnesota side, we partner with a lot of counties. We do some exceptionally good work with them, and we're very proud to partner with various governments to do that. That represents, give or take a little bit, about 28% of our budget. And so, I'm not saying that government's bad, and I hope you're not characterizing it that way. I just, but if you look at the evolution of
but
the
Gary,
of
you charactered it that way. Come on, I mean,
no,
you're making me out to be the bad guy here. You said that prone to arrogance, eventually corrupt. Central government is ineffective, too distant and disconnected from its constituents, and yet you're taking their money.
No, all of that's quite true, Joel. All of that is quite true.
You said it.
If you look at history, what I'm saying is that as government expands and gets more intrusive, then our individual freedoms have to contract at the same point. That doesn't mean that government's bad. It means that if government's allowed to get too large and too intrusive, then people lose options, and that doesn't work very well. Okay. So there's a different message there. I mean, they're not. What you're saying isn't quite what I'm saying.
Well, no, because you're saying two things. You're saying that you don't believe in central government, that it's too intrusive, it ends up being corrupt, you don't trust central government, and yet you're taking money from central government. I don't understand why if I'm Joe Blow and I'm on the street and I believe in the mission of the village and the good work that the village does, why I would want to write you a check if you don't believe in the very mission that you're being paid to do on this?
Well, I think, Joel, the issue here is one of proportion. As I say, we're very happy to partner with the government, but we watch that carefully. We make sure that that piece of what we do on behalf of 80-plus thousand clients a year doesn't overtake our responsibility to the community and our the fact that we're owned by the community and so forth. So we're proud to work with the counties and with the state and so forth, and we do very good work in that regard. But that's a different message from saying that as government increases and becomes intrusive and gets more distant from its constituents and so on and so forth, things get warped. And I'm just simply saying that there's a lot of evidence that what I believe has merit and has some history to it. it.
So let's say I'm a Tea Party member, and I love the fact that in the editorial you bring up the Ten Commandments and how the Ten Commandments weren't the 100 Commandments. And so I got my quick reference to the religion, which makes me proud that I'm associated with Gary here. So now I'm happy. But yet the Tea Party member looks at it and says, no, wait a second, though. I want limited government. These people need to get up. They need to go to work for themselves. If they have mental issues, if they have issues at the home, if they have issues with their family, it isn't my job as a taxpayer to fund this. It's their job to pull them up by their bootstraps. We don't need things like the village. We don't need $827,000 going to the village from the federal government because Gary, even himself, doesn't believe in central government. Aren't you putting at risk what the village is doing here and how it's funded?
Well, Joel, my reference to the Ten Commandments, I mean, again, let's not, you know, wander off too far from what I'm saying here. I'm saying that the Ten Commandments were ten, and they're relevant after 2,000 years of time. The Obamacare bill was in the neighborhood of 2,000 pages. It's incredibly complex. And those are without the regulations that are going to be written based on those 2,000 pages. It probably wasn't read by a single legislator that signed on to it. And so what I'm doing there is contrasting, as I was with Thomas Jefferson. I mean, you've got simple things that you can do, and you have complex things that you can do. And so Obamacare, one of its serious flaws is the immense complexity of it. And we're sitting over here trying to be very responsible with donors' money, and
my money. I'm a taxpayer.
And your taxpayer money.
So
yeah.
By the way, I would
remind your listeners that those figures that you're talking about are spread out over years.
Gary, it's federal money. It's centralized government money. My point is this. You must see how I would find you to be hypocritical when you're taking federal money on one hand and the other hand saying, I don't believe in central government.
Well, Joel, I guess I see it differently. I think they're very different arguments, and as I said earlier, it's a matter of proportion. We're happy and proud, and there's some of the things that we do for kids and families that for us go back over 100 years that you don't do without partnering with the state and county government.
Exactly. And the states weren't dealing with health care.
The states weren't
dealing with health care. We tried to get additional health care. We tried to get the CHIPS program in North Dakota. We tried to expand it. We couldn't get the state to do it. It wasn't until the states didn't do their job and people were going uninsured and I was paying for them at the emergency room that the federal government finally stepped in, Gary. I mean, come on. Okay, let me do this because I'm going to say this after you're gone. Which is, you know, are people who donate to the village still going to donate to the village? I don't want to say that and not give you an opportunity to explain why they should still donate to the village.
Well, Joel, I think there's a disservice being done if we start to correlate what I've said as an individual taxpayer in this editorial and to try to translate.
You didn't send it to the Fargo Forum. You put it in the village newsletter. That's the company newsletter. If I, as operations manager of KFGO, send a message out through my newsletter here, I'm speaking on behalf of KFGO. If I'm speaking as a talk show host, that's me. That isn't speaking on behalf of KFGO. If you wrote it to the Fargo Forum as an editorial, that's a whole different issue. But that isn't what you did. It's online. It's in your magazine.
I understand that. And it also says very clearly that's my view, not necessarily the staff.
Right. But if I write you a check, I'm writing you, the manager of the village who manages my money and has this philosophy, a check, and I'm trying to help people. And I'm trying to get you to get as much of that federal money to help people because I do believe in that program. It flies to me directly in the face of what I would think the village is trying to do.
Well, I don't think it's an either or. As I said, Joel, I mean, if you're going to do the work we do on behalf of kids, you're going to be partnering with the state government at times, and you're going to be partnering with the county.
If you're going to make statements like this, then shouldn't your organization, or at least you philosophically, not take money from the central government?
I don't know how you get to that conclusion, Joel. I mean, again, it's a matter of proportion. If 90% of our money was coming from tax-based money, that would be another matter. But 72% of the income that drive the services that we provide, from the Big Brother Big Sister program and the Comus Child Care and on and on, comes from the community, comes from services we either sell or from wonderful donors that know of our 122-year history and support.
If you had no federal government money, it's easy to bash the federal government and be popular with new board members like Nelson, but if you had no federal money, how many staff would you have to lay off tomorrow at the Village?
Well, if we had no federal money, our services would continue. I don't know exactly how.
So you could live without it. You could live without it just fine.
Joe, we've been, since 1891, we've been providing services to kids and families, and with a very measured income from the federal government.
So if you were awarding these grants, Gary, then, and you knew the philosophy that you, as manager of the Village, had, would it be appropriate for them to say, then we're shopping somewhere else?
Well, you know, you said a bit ago about you keep framing this in an either or. I think that's
an either or in your editorial, Gary.
It's not that government is bad, Joel. Understand this, please. Understand this. It's that the ever increasing size, the usurpation of things. The Obamacare captures 1/6 of the entire economy.
So your programs weren't growth in government.
And it nationalizes 1/6 of it. That's my point. I'm not saying government's bad. I think government has a very critical role in overseeing and providing some services to those folks who need services, and we do some of that.
Like health care.
That's a different argument, and I am not saying, and I want to be very clear about this, I'm not saying the government is bad.
Gary, the time's got me. I appreciate you coming on. I promise I won't speak about it after you're gone, okay?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to visit, Joel. I always do. Thank you so much.
Gary Walsky with the Village Family Service Center.